Our gospel lesson this morning is a lectionary reading for this, the first Sunday of the Lenten season. It comes from the first chapter of Mark's gospel, verses 9 through 15. Now, for many of us, these might be familiar words, but hear them again if you can. Hear them for the first time. What might these words be speaking to you today at this particular point on your journey of faith? In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, I think it was eighth grade. It may have been seventh grade. It's been a while. Math class. And I talked about this at the first service and the second service today. No clue. No clue what I was talking about. We were given this contraption, right? And it resembled an uppercase A, all right? And at one end of the two legs of this uppercase A was a very sharp point, kind of a ice pick of sorts, right? At the end of the other leg of this uppercase A was a golf pencil. And it had a little sleeve, don't spoil it, as a golf pencil, it could be slid up and down. It was a marvelous little instrument because you see, you could plant that sharp point in the middle of your paper, and then you could drag the other leg around, and voila, you ended up with a what? A perfect circle. Every single time. Do you remember those contraptions? No, you don't. What was it called? No, incorrect. No, that was right. Okay, never mind. Okay. Hold that image. Okay, it's a very simple word. It has a very simple meaning. Okay? And I'm not talking about compass here. No. I'm talking about the word Lent. L-E-N-T. The word means spring. Etymologically, it derives from the word length, the same word meaning as you move in the northern hemisphere, as you move through the spring, the days lengthen. You're heading toward Easter. The days are lengthening. And it's like spring itself. Liturgical season of Lent is about new life. Buds are coming out. New life is coming out. And it's about new possibilities, about starting over. Are you ready? Are you ready for Lent? Are you ready to start over? Of course you are. Of course. Okay, let us think about this for a minute. Lent is a 40-day season that runs from Ash Wednesday, which was last Wednesday, up until Easter Sunday. 40 days. And despite what you have heard, despite what you have been told, what you have seen, what you have experienced, the point of these 40 days, the point of Lent, is not to survive. That's not the point. As in, survive no chocolate, no caffeine, no dessert, no fun, no wine, whatever. No. The point of Lent is not to survive. The point of Lent is to learn to thrive. That's what you want to do, right? The point is life, new life. And like the word itself, Lent is that simple. That simple. All right. So that means that for the next 40 days, we're going to be on a journey together toward new life. The journey metaphor works well when wrestling with faith issues because it reminds us that faith is never static. You know? You don't check it off and that's it. No. Life is never static. It is always developing, always growing, always moving. And that's a great way for us to envision the season of Lent because the goal of this season is to get somewhere new. Right? And over the course of the next 40 days, we want to move forward, we want to progress, we want to advance as human beings. That's what we want to do. So are you ready? Sure you are. So let's go. Okay. It all begins with these words. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. That's it. And that's the point. We seek to be part of that good news. We seek to experience the kingdom of God and all that it portends for our weary lives and our weary world. It's a kingdom that was defined in the life and ministry of Jesus. All right? A kingdom of love and mercy and forgiveness and acceptance and second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And you know that you get the point. All right? Back at the dawn of 2020, which seems like a lifetime ago, we decided that since we had a new facility here at Pleasant Grove, a beautiful welcome center. If you weren't here, before that time, there was a courtyard out there, right? Remodeled the sanctuary. We expanded the fellowship hall, new kitchen, new offices, accessible bathrooms, which was the greatest gift of all. If you remember that, you know what I'm talking about. So in light of these new facilities, we decided that we need to upgrade, so to speak, or sharpen, may be a better word, our ministry vision. A vision of what the kingdom of God might look like right now, right here in this place, in this community. We called it 2020 Vision. Very, very catchy. Very catchy. 2020 Vision. Okay. We had a retreat. We plotted a strategy. I think we even had some materials printed up for this that were really something. We had big things that were going to happen. Big things were going to happen in 2020 for us. But then, in the second week of March, the world came to a screeching halt, of course. And we were forced to place our vision initiative on hold. We went into survival mode. And when I learned from the bishop that we were going to be without church for 2 weeks, I said, that's it. We're going out of business. But you wouldn't let it happen. No, you wouldn't. That was 4 years ago. In the winter of 2020, the idea behind our visioning process was that while we saw many churches around us struggling to survive, we at Pleasant Grove wanted to focus on what we could do, not just to survive, but to thrive. Sound like Lent. All right? So we talked. We talked through things. And as we did, we began to zero in on what made this expression of the body of Christ a vital expression. We wanted to know what it meant for Pleasant Grove to be a vital community of faith in 2020. It was not surprising that as we went through this exercise, we kept coming back to some familiar words. Words from years earlier. Words that many in this room here today know. We exist to be the body of Christ in the world. That's it. That's who we are. And further, we validated the long-held belief that we could live into this identity by reaching folks through acts of radical hospitality. You know, this hospitality would be extended to all, just as Christ had extended his love to all. He extended his grace to all. And then once we had welcomed and included folks, we could then engage them in ministry, right? We'd get them involved. This in turn would enable them, encourage them, support them to grow spiritually with us. Okay. Friends, that was 2020. And 2020 was a very, very, very long time ago. A lot has changed in this world, in our lives. But what has not changed is our mission. And we know that. In fact, over the past 12 months, and you may not even know this, over the past 12 months here at Pleasant Grove, we have been actively and intentionally growing our ministry. We have been actively growing our programs, growing our staff support, growing our opportunities to serve others. Friends, we're in the midst of a renaissance, a rebirth here at the church. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now, Lent is the perfect time, I think, to revisit our mission and our vision. And I say this because the success of our mission and vision is dependent upon those who claim the mission and the vision. Us, right? And what that boils down to in my mind is the fact that before we can be a community that effectively extends the grace of God. We need to know that grace and that touch in our own lives individually. In other words, if we want to be conduits of grace, then we better allow ourselves to be recipients of grace. And we do that through practice. The kids knew it. Because practice makes perfect, we say. Of course. Everyone knows that. And that's Lent. Lent is practice. We practice our faith. All right. An important part, maybe even the most important part of the Lent, is finding your practice. All right? Finding a practice that will allow you to encounter grace. Now, this doesn't have to be complicated. No. You know, maybe your practice is going to be to have coffee every morning on the deck as you read something that stirs your soul. That's going to be your practice. Or maybe your practice is going to be a walk around Lake Lynn every afternoon. Or maybe your practice is going to be in a state of meditation or prayer in your room every single night for the next 40 days minus these last few days. Again, it's a journey. It's a journey. And we have to find the route that will get us where we want to be. So, do you have your route mapped out? Some tried and true strategies are these: fasting, study of Scripture, intentional conversation. By that, in a tradition, Methodist church, we say holy conversation. Let's talk about deep stuff, big stuff together. Maybe acts of compassion. Practice doing good stuff. And I guess these aren't really so much routes as they are vehicles, as they get us where we need to be. And where we need to be is an awareness of the immediacy of the sacred that permeates our life, that circumscribes our lives. In other words, that give us perspective. Perspective, the gift of awareness. You know, and it's the moment we realize that we are not owners. We're just stewards or caretakers of our lives. Friends, it's the appropriation of this status that leads to a transfigured life. We talked about that last week, Transfiguration Sunday. And then ultimately, it will lead to a vital community. All right, I know what you're thinking. Stewardship sounds like one of those church words. It is. It is. So as you remember, Bishop Robert Snasey says that maybe we need to substitute the word generosity for stewardship. He said, it sounds more organic, more generative, more less legalistic, less formal than stewardship. He says, I have to explain to my teenage sons what stewardship means. But they know generosity when they see it. He argues that a church, in order to be an effective expression of the body of Christ, one that is vital, is characterized by extravagant generosity. And I'm not talking about money here. Obviously, that's part of it, but that's not what I'm talking about. In other words, in an attempt to respond to the grace of God for the gift of life, the followers of Christ live out their thanksgiving through a life of generosity. Disciples give themselves away. And through such an act, they find life. It's counterintuitive, but it happens every single time. Last week, we talked about the transfiguration of Jesus. And just prior to the transfiguration story, there's a scene in which Jesus is talking with his disciples. He says this: if any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? And that's it. If any want to become my followers, if you want to be transfigured, if you want to find new life, then don't close in around yourself. Don't make everything about you. Don't hoard your life. No, instead, give your life away. Give it away. Extend the circle of your life through generous living. And that is the Lenten theme. You know, when I was a kid, I loved drawing circles with my compass. That compass is still in my desk drawer at home in the top drawer. It's in a little case. I was a kid, I used it with utmost care. I would draw perfect circles every single time. And a lot of times, after drawing the circle, our instructor would say something like, I want you to put the following information in that circle. Much to my chagrin, I had drawn my circle too small. And one thing I hate is to scribble that circle out and erase it and try to draw something. No, I hated that. The following are instructions for using a compass. This is from a compass manufacturer. So if you're wondering how to use a compass, here's how you do it. Holding the compass firmly from the top metal safety point, place the pointed end of the compass on the paper where you wish to draw the circle. Slowly rotate the compass around so the pencil begins drawing the circle. Do not, all caps, do not apply any pressure to the pencil, or the width of your circle will change. Wow. Friends, that's the opposite of Lent. That's the opposite of Lent. During the next 40 days, we need to find a practice that's life-giving. A practice that brings awareness of our contingency as children of God. A practice that leads us into generous living. A practice that applies some pressure and leads us to draw the circle of our lives a little bit larger. And then we will find life. So let's go. The time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Thanks be to God. Amen.